Good to see all of you here at the 11 o'clock service. If you would join me in 2 Kings chapter 2 this morning, the Old Testament book of 2 Kings chapter 2, as we continue our Sunday message series on the prophets of Elijah and Elisha, holy warriors. And today we are looking at this chapter and sort of looking at it from the perspective of, I'm going to officiate Elijah's memorial service. Elijah's memorial service. Would you please follow along as I read the first 14 verses of 2 Kings chapter 2. Just before the Lord took Elijah up to heaven in a windstorm, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. Elijah told Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As certainly as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Some members of the prophetic guild in Bethel came out to Elisha and said, "Do you know that today the Lord is going to take your master from you?" He said, "Yes, I know. Be quiet. Don't remind me." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he replied, "As certainly as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. Some members of the prophetic guild, which, by the way, that would be like a training school for prophets. Think of it as far as in our modern day, like a Bible college or seminary where the prophets are being trained in the Word of God. "Do you know that today the Lord is going to take your master from you?" And again, Elisha said, "Yes, I know. Be quiet. I don't want to talk about it." Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he replied, "As certainly as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they traveled on together. The 50 members of the prophetic guild went and stood opposite them at a distance while Elijah and Elisha stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, folded it up, and hit the water with it. The water divided and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha answered, "May I receive a double portion of the prophetic spirit that energizes you?" Elijah replied, "That's a difficult request. If you see me taken from you, may it be so, but if you don't, it will not happen." And before we get to verse 11, let me say this. Even from the time I was a child, there are those, and even it's portrayed in pictures and paintings and whatever, that God took Elijah up to heaven in a fiery chariot. But that's not true. As you see here in verse 11, the fiery chariot was what separated Elijah from Elisha. He was taken up in a whirlwind or a windstorm. We'll talk more about that. So notice verse 11. As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a fiery chariot pulled by fiery horses appeared, and they went between Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah went up to heaven in a windstorm. While Elisha was watching, he was crying out, my father, the chariot and horsemen of Israel." Then he could no longer see him. He grabbed his clothes and tore them in two as an expression of intense grief. Then he sort of, to embrace the calling of God upon him, he picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen off of him, went back, stood on the shore of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen off Elijah, hit the water with it, and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he hit the water, it divided, and Elisha crossed over. As I said, I want to approach this passage from the perspective of a memorial service for Elijah. And let me share with you what a memorial service is. The purpose of a memorial service, even today, is not to try to sum up or capture a person's life. There is no way Our lives are too great. We touch too many people throughout our lives. Think of the Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. We don't realize how our life fans out and all the different lives that are touched by our life. So when in a memorial service, we're not trying in an hour to capture a person's life. That's not the purpose of a memorial service. The sole purpose of a memorial service, even for a Christian, is to acknowledge that their life mattered and that their life made a difference. That's what I try to do as a pastor when I officiate a memorial service. And so today we're going to honor the life and legacy of the prophet Elijah. But in a memorial service, we are also responsible to speak to those who are still living. It's not just about honoring the dead or those who have passed on. It's about speaking to us who are still alive about what our life is saying, what our life is about, and just being reminded that one day some pastor is going to officiate our memorial service. And we are reminded in the Bible, even by Moses in Psalm 90, verse 12, Lord, teach us to consider our mortality so that we might live more wisely. Or another way to say it is, Lord, remind me that this life is not all there is, and so help me to live for what matters most, you see. So with that in mind, what I want to do today is walk us through this passage of Scripture again, and I want to ask you some probing, soul-searching questions. Questions that I have asked myself for months as I have studied and meditated upon this passage, and I want to ask you these same questions because I think they are very important questions. And the first one, based upon verse 1, is, are you ready to die? I didn't ask, do you want to die? I'm asking, though, are you ready to die? Because the Bible tells us it is appointed unto men and women once to die, and after this, God's judgment or evaluation. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. And even though Elijah didn't technically die, as we understand it, he was translated to heaven, very few people are going to go to heaven that way. Only Elijah and Enoch, as we know in the Bible, went that way. And then there's the generation who will be alive at the rapture of the church who will also be caught up in heaven with the Lord. Other than that, if we're going to go to heaven, we go through the way of death. All of us. And the question is, are we ready to die? Because I believe that those who are most prepared to die are also most prepared to live. Because we live with a sense of urgency. We live understanding that our life is a vapor and we're only here for a very short time. We live with a sense of intentionality and purpose every day. And so again, I ask you, are you ready to die and do you know where you're going if you would die? Because John writes, these things were written that you might know that you have eternal life. And the only way we have eternal life is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father but by me. Do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know where you're going when you die? Do you know that you would go to heaven if you closed your eyes in death today even? In 42 years as a pastor, there have been many a bedside that I have been by when people have passed from this life to the next. And I can tell you, that there is quite a difference between being by the bedside of someone who knows Jesus as their Savior and they know as soon as they close their eyes in death where they're going and where they're going to spend eternity compared to being by the bedside of someone who has no relationship with Jesus, who has no hope of eternity, who thinks this life is all there is and they're never going to see anyone ever again, that this is it. In 42 years of doing memorial services, There is quite a difference in the whole feel of a memorial service done for a Christian, where people are gathering truly to celebrate their life, but also understanding, I'm going to see them again. This isn't goodbye forever. This is just goodbye for a little while, compared to doing a memorial service again for a group of people who have no hope beyond this life. Are you ready to die? And do you know where you're going when you do? Do you know how to get there? Do you know and do you believe that the only way to get to heaven is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you understand what God's word teaches, that there's only two eternal destinies? You and I and every other human being who's ever lived either goes out into eternity with Christ forever or apart from Christ forever. That's the only two choices. That's the only two destinies. There is no other. And there is a gulf between the two. Think of the story of the rich man and Lazarus that Jesus gave. He says to the rich man, we can't pass to you and you can't pass to us. Separated, just like the chariot, in a sense, for a moment, separated Elijah and Elisha. So, first question, are you ready to die? Second question, you will note in this text that the Spirit of God had given Elijah, Elisha, and all of these prophets in training knowledge that Elijah wasn't going to be here very much longer. You saw that there. In fact, every time they would go to Bethel or Jericho or one of these schools for the prophets would come out in training and say to Elijah, hey, you know, Elijah's getting ready to go, right? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it. You know, don't remind me. Be quiet. So they had this preparation, if you will, that the time for Elijah upon this earth was very short and that they weren't going to see him very much longer. Let me ask you the second question. If you knew your time on earth was short, how would you spend it? What would you be doing? And who would you be spending it with? Because I want you to see here, what was Elijah doing in the last hours of his life? He was living his life for the Lord. He was investing in the next generation that was coming after him. He was pouring his life out into Elisha and into these schools of prophets as he traveled around. That's how he spent his life. He wasn't sitting in his home just with his feet propped up, just waiting for God to take him. He was out there working and serving the Lord up to the very end of his life. And he especially had in mind the idea that he wanted to make sure that the next generation coming after him was strengthened and was encouraged in hanging in there and doing the work of the Lord and finishing their race. A few years ago, I felt very impressed of the Lord that even though I'm not planning on leaving anytime soon, that I plan on being around and being your pastor for a few more years, that God wanted me as the pastor to begin to really focus on raising up the next generation of leaders within our own church. And we are in the process of doing that in all of our ministries, as far as our elders and our men's ministry and our women's ministry and other ministries. We're very purposefully and consciously just asking the Lord, who is it, Lord, that you want me to be pouring into who's going to come after me? Because just like in this case, we're not going to be here forever. And we need to make sure that we are passing on the things that we need to pass on to the generation behind us. All of us have that responsibility, and that's exactly what Elijah was doing. I want you to note something else here in that passage of Scripture. Did you note that every time God was leading Elijah to go somewhere, whether it was Bethel or Jericho or the Jordan, that he was telling Elijah, hey, stay here. I don't think it was because Elijah didn't really want Elisha to come along. I think that this was Elijah's way of maybe testing his commitment and also saying, Elisha, serving the Lord and being in ministry isn't for the faint of heart. Here's your way out if you want it. Take it. You know, you don't have to keep following me. You don't have to keep going down this path if your heart's not really in it. And I love the response of Elisha to Elijah. Three times in verse 2, in verse 4, and verse 6, you see these same words. He says, I will not leave you. And you know why I think that's significant? Because today, especially, we live in a world that lacks loyalty and commitment. And here you see a partnership, a friendship, a relationship where these two people were committed to each other. And Elisha is basically saying, Elijah, wherever you go, I'm following you. We're glued together. I'm in this with you until God takes you to glory. We don't find that much today in our relationships. There's not a lot of loyalty and commitment out there. We live in a world where you don't know who you can count on and who has your back and are they really going to be there for you through all of the ups and downs. And we see that even in Christendom. I mean, our church is just a reflection of every other church. I mean, there's been a core of people who have, you know, we've all done this together for many, many years, and God is bringing others in to be a part of that as well. But there was way more who've just sort of come in for a while, and then they're not with us anymore. And all I can tell you from both biblical truth and from my own experience is, if you don't stay somewhere long with anything or anybody, you're never going to accomplish much because you always got to keep starting over and building everything back up again. It takes you and I doing something over the long haul together to really begin to see the harvest and the fruit of it. And you don't have that kind of buy-in today by a lot of people, including many Christians. They go from one thing to the other, and one church to the other, and every couple of years, they're going here, and they're going, and they got to start all over again. And I'm not saying that there's not times where God doesn't move us, but man, some Christians, it's just like they're always on the move, and they can't get any traction anywhere in anything. I love the example of Elisha. He's saying, I'm sticking with you, and we're in this through thick and thin. I hope you have an Elisha in your life. I hope you have someone in your life that you know they're loyal to you. They're committed to you. You can count on them. They've got your back, and I hope that maybe you are an Elisha to somebody else. That there's somebody in your life that knows you'll be there for them if they need you to be. Because it's important. And that's what you see played out here in this passage of Scripture. First of all, you see a man who's ready to die. He's ready to go to be with the Lord because he has a relationship with his God. And whenever God chooses to take him, he's ready to go and he knows where he's going. Heaven is real, my friends, and so is hell. Where are you going? Second, what are we going to do with the time we have left? What would we do if we just had a limited time left and we knew we had a limited time left? What would we be doing? Who would we be with? Elijah was investing in spiritual, eternal things. He was investing in people. I'm not saying it's wrong to have things as long as we keep things in their proper place in our life. There's two kinds of philosophies of living life. You can be the kind of person that loves people and uses things, or the kind of person that loves things and uses people. What's your philosophy of life? Elijah was investing in people Because there's only a couple things on this side of heaven that we come in contact with that are eternal. Naked we came into this world, naked we go out. I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of memorial services in 42 years. No one's ever taken all their stuff with them. We leave it all behind. But you know what we can take with us? The investment we've made in this book, because this book is eternal, and the investment we make in each other's lives, because we are eternal souls. And that's what Elijah was doing in his final days and hours on earth. Well, let's continue. Notice it says at the end of verse 7, they come down to the Jordan, and Elijah and Elisha are standing by the Jordan. This is significant. The Jordan River has deep meaning in the Old Testament, deep meaning to the Jews of the Old Testament. The Jordan River stood for a test. It was like, if I stay on this side of the Jordan, I can stay in my comfort zone. Nothing has to change, just sort of business as usual. But if I'm willing to cross the Jordan, oh my, God has some great things out there on the other side of the Jordan. God has more for me. Am I willing to cross the Jordan? Because in crossing the Jordan is not just symbolic of a test. It's symbolic of a challenge. It's symbolic of maybe difficulty, of a trial, of an obstacle, of something that's going to maybe be difficult. But on the other side, there's going to be blessing. Am I willing to cross the Jordan? And notice, they were getting ready to cross the Jordan together. They were crossing Jordans together for quite a few years. Do you have anybody that crosses the Jordans with you? That even though it might be a little daunting and it'd be so much easier and everything to just stay on this side and not, you know, keep going, that you know God has more for you if you're willing by faith to cross that Jordan? And do you have someone who's crossing the Jordans with you? Because later on we learn, after Elijah is taken, Elisha has to learn to cross the Jordan by himself. And I will tell you, if you're not learning to cross Jordans with anyone now, then you probably won't be crossing any Jordans by yourself later. Because the things we learn as we cross Jordans with people now set us up to be able to have the confidence and the faith to be able to cross a Jordan whenever that person's no longer in our life. Crossing the Jordan. So notice, Elijah took his cloak, verse 8, folded it up, hit the water with it. The water divided, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And when they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, and I believe this question came through the leading of the Holy Spirit, "What can I do for you before I am taken away from you?" And Elisha answered, "May I receive a double portion of the prophetic spirit that energizes you?" The first question I wanted to pose to all of us today is, are we ready to die, and do we know where we're going when we die? Second, what would we be doing and who would we be doing it with if we know we had limited time left on this earth? Third question, what do you want out of life? Really, what do you want out of the time you have here on earth? Because note in the response of Elisha what he wanted. And I'm going to use sort of a modern terminology for us to be able to relate to it here. When Elijah says, "What can I do for you?" Elisha doesn't say, "Give me a comfortable life." He doesn't say, "I want a bigger house." He doesn't say, "I want a new car." He doesn't say, "I want a promotion at work." You know what he's asking for? He's saying, "I have seen God work through you, Elijah. I've seen the power of God pulsating through your being. I've seen how God has used you to touch lives and how he has used you to make a difference and make an impact in this world, in other people's lives. I want that and even more. I want to do great things for my God just like you have. In fact, I want to do greater things, so I'm asking for double what God has given you. Wow. That's what he wanted. He wanted to do great things for his God. He wanted to make a spiritual impact. He wanted to make a spiritual difference in this world while he was here. So out of all the things that he could have asked for, he asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. That's a pretty audacious request too, isn't it? At least we think so. I think many Christians are afraid to ask God for big things. Let me encourage you, don't be that way. We honor God by the magnitudes of our requests. He's a big God. He's a great God. It's not like it's too hard or too difficult for him. And I think sometimes we think way too small. I think we got to start thinking bigger. Notice Elisha thought big. He's like, he didn't even just ask, could you give me the power that Elijah had? No. He says, I want double what you gave him. Let me ask you, what if God came to you and said, what can I do for you? What would your response be? What do you really want out of life? Well, Elijah and Elisha both wanted to make a difference in this world for God while they were here. They wanted to make a spiritual impact. They wanted to touch as many lives as possible. And so Elisha is asking for a greater spiritual capacity, enablement, and empowerment from God so that he could make an even greater impact upon this world than even Elijah did. And by the way, interesting, I was going to bring this up. I didn't even share this with the 9 o'clock group. Not only did in the Bible Elisha do twice as many miracles as Elijah, but there's only one person in the Bible that did more miracles than Elisha. Can you guess who that is? Jesus. There's a good biblical, question that most people would never get the answer of. Who did the second most miracles recorded in the Bible? Most people would never guess Elisha. And then, next question. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want other people to remember you? If a pastor someday is doing your memorial service, or you have a couple people who are doing a eulogy, what would you want them to say about you? Notice what Elisha says about Elijah after he's taken to heaven. Verse 11, as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a fiery chariot pulled by fiery horses appeared, and they went between Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah went up to heaven in a windstorm. By the way, that windstorm or whirlwind speaks about the personal, powerful presence of God. God was literally taking Elijah by the hand and going to escort him to glory. I want to encourage you today. Whether it's you thinking about your own time of death or someone else's death, if they know the Lord, I want you to know that the Bible teaches that even as David said in Psalm 23, when I walk through the darkest valley, even the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, because why? You're with me. I want you to know the presence of God literally wraps around us even at the time of death, and Jesus personally escorts us to heaven. That's why we don't have to be afraid. And then while Elisha was watching verse 12, he was crying out, my father, the chariot and horsemen of Israel. That may be the shortest eulogy, but maybe the most powerful. Because Elisha is basically saying of his friend, his partner, and his mentor, Elijah, here was a man who was the power of God. Here was a man who was an army of one. He was a one-man army. You see, in those days, chariots and horses, that was like you had military might. If you had the armies that had the most chariots and horses usually won the battles. It was symbolic of strength and power and force. And Elisha's eulogy, if you will, and the way he remembered Elijah is, there goes the one-man army of God. That's how Elijah was remembered. That's what Elisha thought of his friend. Man, there goes the power of God. You see, to Elisha, the power of God was not found in Israel's physical army. The power and the authority of God was found in his friend, Elijah. That's where he saw the power of God. What a testimony. What a witness. How will you be remembered? What characterizes your life? What will be said about you after you're gone, after I'm gone? What will they say about us? It's important for us to reflect and think about these things. And I love the fact that, yes, Elijah picked up Elijah's mantle and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And the River Jordan parted just as it did for Elijah. Why? Because he's the same God. The same God that was with Elijah is now going to be with Elisha. And that's true of you and I too. You see. The same God that helped you and your Elijah cross rivers together is the same God one day when that person is no longer in your life will enable you to cross those rivers by yourself. And not that you have to cross all the rivers for the rest of your life by yourself, but at least you know that by crossing them together and seeing how the Lord helped you across those rivers with someone else, how it gives you again the strength and the confidence and the faith to be able to cross those rivers by yourself. Because we're not always going to be together. There is coming a time where we're going to have to say goodbye to each other, but only for a time. Before I wrap up this morning, I want to share this with you. In the last 20 years, I end my memorial services that I do all the same way. And the reason I do that is for the first 22 years of being a pastor doing memorial services, I heard one thing at the end of the service way more than anything else. Way more. I mean, not even close. I would do a memorial service, and I would have people come up to me after the service was over and say something to this effect: "Pastor, I wish I would have let that person know how much they meant to me, how much I appreciated them, the difference they made in my life. And I never did, and now it's too late." I want to encourage us who are still alive. Don't let that be you. If you have someone in your life that you appreciate, you admire, they've made a difference in your life, don't wait until they're dead to tell them. Tell them while they're alive. So often, I have seen this play out time and time again. And so I made sort of a vow to God and to myself that I would not do a memorial service without encouraging all of us. Let the people know that mean something to you, that they mean something to you. And don't wait till it's too late to say nice things about them after they've passed. Let them know while they're still alive. One day, hopefully, everyone in this room is going to see Jesus face to face. Are you ready? What do you want out of life? How do you want to be remembered? These are important things for us to consider and reflect upon even while we're still living. Because again, I truly believe that the people who are most prepared to die are most prepared to live. Because they live every day with a sense of urgency, purpose, and intentionality. I'm going to ask Nicole and our worship team to come. And as they're coming, I'm going to ask you to stand with me and join me in prayer. Father, I pray today that all of us, Lord, would be reminded we're not going to live forever. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And what are we doing with that time in between? Are we living as if we believe eternity is coming? Are we living in a way that reflects the values that you have instilled in your word? Are we living like Elijah and Elisha to make the greatest spiritual impact that we can while we're here? And Lord, I pray that we will always keep in mind that, Lord, life is a precious gift. And none of us knows how long we have here on this earth. So, Lord, help us to consider our mortality and help us to make the most of every moment that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.